Back here on 790 The Ticket, Sex Pistols? Or the Ramones?
The Ramones, bro.
Ramones, okay. One of those two. Come on, man. You got to give me two guesses here. Zach Duarte, Greg Likens. That's Danny the Sports Bomber. You here? Someone says, Zach, nobody believes you're good at basketball or any other sport.
Oh, that's not nice.
Eh. It's okay. I don't need the faith of anybody else.
I can believe that you do the Spartan race thing.
I mean, I don't necessarily. I'm not like the best at it, you know.
Well, no, I didn't think. It's more like that. I didn't say that.
I believe you said you do the Spartan race.
Yes, I say that. I do believe that you do it. I believe that you finish.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't finish the Iceland one, which was a 24-hour one. But I'm
you,
going.
You went and tried to do that for 24 hours.
Yes.
Now you know what. You know what, participation trophy on that one. BALLS.
Well, I'm going
That's
back.
24 hours.
I'm going to Sweden to try to do it again this year. So,
how long did you last?
13 hours.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care what anybody says. That's impressive.
Oh, thank you.
No, I mean, 13 hours
and
doing
a
race?
Couple things to keep in mind. Iceland in December means that there's 4 hours of daylight. Okay. But 30 degrees temperature, cold, wet, icy. There are obstacles on the course. So, yeah, you know.
I have no problem admitting I wouldn't last 5 minutes in that. I don't think I could get out of the house in those conditions, to be honest.
It was pretty rough, but it was fun. I tried, gave it my best. Cramped way too much. Like, I was cramping, man. I ran out of water in the first lap, which was about 9 miles. So, whew. I gave it the
old college try.
There we go. That's what I was looking for. I'm just pumping my fist.
Yeah, we had a hand gesture and everything.
Yeah. Someone texted, what is a sports bomber?
That is a nickname given to me by the former radio host, South Florida radio host named Steve White.
Oh, man. That was the program director when I first started at the ticket.
I mean, I'll tell you the story. I was working at the QAM at the time, and I came in, and I was sick that day. And I'm like one of those guys that I show up to work sick because I like money that way. But I was sick and I came in and I had a gray hood and I had a gray hoodie and like sunglasses and I'm running the board for Steve White. And he and Gino Toretta are like, dude, you look like the Unabomber. So I became the sports bomber.
Got it. I thought there was something better to that.
No. Nothing far more interesting than that.
I remember when... Because then people just started calling you the sports bomber.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, remember you were on the show before me, and I came in, and you were like, hey, are you okay? I'm like, let me dial in, Mike.
I used to play pickup ball with Steve White.
Did you school him?
Well, he's 6'10", 6'11", you know. So
I mean, you had the agility.
He and I used to play on the same team together, I guess, is a better way to phrase it.
Yes, in fact, Steve was on your team that day, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah. So
you are not looking good in this fantasy thing here, my friend.
No, this has been a terrible game so far between the Broncos and the 49ers. It's 3-0 with under 6 minutes to go in the second quarter.
Looks like you're going to have that 12th pick.
At least I'll get back-to-back picks.
By the way, my league at CBS4, speaking of the 12th pick, they were doing the random selection for the picks today, so I sent a text to my guy. I'm like, hey, what pick do I have? 12.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is what I get for moving to the overnight shift and not being around when the picks are being done.
You know they like manually put you there, right?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
For sure. For sure.
Well, have you determined how you're going to do
No, I haven't forward? Had the – I'll have the discussion. I'm going to get home and send everybody the message. I'm sure they'll respond tomorrow. But I don't want to do a whole chat while we're on the air, you know. I'll be distracted. So, but, yeah, you're not looking good here. In terms of this Ezekiel Elliott story here, did you hear like the latest development in the story with Jerry Jones and Ezekiel Elliott?
I did hear it.
I'm just making sure.
It sounds pretty petty, if you ask me.
Well, petty on the part of who, though? I don't think it's petty by Ezekiel Elliott to be felt disrespected.
Really? He feels disrespected.
I mean, he does want to get paid more money.
Right.
Like, okay,
like, all these guys, what a bunch of egomaniacs, sensitive little babies.
But, Greg.
A bunch of multimillionaires.
Okay, let's relate this to the last segment, okay? Right? Like, I spoke about you playing basketball, and you were like, get my name the hell out of your mouth.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's insane for you to think you can beat me in basketball.
Well,
I mean,
I do.
That's very warranted.
Well, I do. So, like, Jerry Jones, the man who signs the checks, says Zeke who? I understand where Zeke's coming from here. I wouldn't say that. I would say the same thing.
But did you see the quote from his agent? His agent said, quote, "I didn't think it was funny, and neither did Zeke. We actually thought it was disrespectful," end quote.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. What if I was like, oh, Greg's on vacation. Who needs Greg? I'd be like, Greg who? I'd be like, what the hell, bro?
You know,
why is my name in your mouth, man?
You know, Zach has a kind of a tremendous point there, Greg. I'm not going to lie. But I'll say this. Like, whenever you get, like, egomaniacs in, like, football or baseball, really in any sport, especially football, I'm reminded of a quote Bill Parcells said about the game. He was just, like, the people in it. He goes, listen, this game is not for the most well-adjusted people, okay? So that tells me that, look, these people, they have egos. They're kind of not. They don't think like normal people. So when they do crazy stuff like that and get disrespected at the smallest pebble on the road, it really doesn't shock me.
By the way, Jerry Jones also clarified that he was just cracking a joke at Ezekiel Elliott's expense.
Well,
so
maybe I was cracking a joke in the basketball thing at your expense.
Right, but that's my point. Like, most people in these types of businesses, whether it be sports talk, or in the NFL, you need to have thick skin. And if you don't, you're going to be in trouble, right? You can't be overly sensitive. You can't get worked up about every little thing that may or may not be said about you. But the bottom line here with Ezekiel Elliott, it's like, really? Your agent is going to be really sensitive about the fact that Jerry Jones made this comment? Like, I just think this whole thing is a bunch of nothing.
Well, where do you stand on the whole thing? Because I side with the running backs every single time, and I come from a point where I drafted Le'Veon Bell last year, and I wasn't mad. I totally understood what he's talking about. The dude touches the ball 400 times.
Right, but he is under contract for 2 more years.
And what? He's extremely underpaid. Extremely. And when it's the other way around, Greg, the owners can just cut you.
Well, I understand. I trust me. I understand that it is an absolute contradiction. It's all going towards the owners and the teams in the NFL. And so the moment that you can no longer help the team, they get rid of you. You know, football players are like products, right? And when they expire, you get rid of them, move on to the next thing. It's a harsh, harsh business. The bottom line, though, here with Ezekiel Elliott is that it's not just that he is underpaid based on his production, but you're also not factoring in the absolute fact that he continues to be an off-field distraction and an off-field issue in which he is one incident away from being suspended again and not being available for the said games in which he's so productive. So it'd be different if Ezekiel Elliott was a perfect citizen, had no issues off the field, and was as productive as he is and wants to get paid. I'd say pay the man, and I'd be completely in his corner. But he cannot get out of his own way. He's pushing bouncers. He's feeling up women when they don't want to be at festivals and all this other stuff. Like, he's doing all these different things to get in trouble and getting suspended or being close to being suspended. So that's the other part of the Ezekiel Elliott equation that I think a lot of people gloss over and just look at his stats.
Okay. You're not wrong there. Right, there's always that. But like, first of all, how much time has Ezekiel Elliott missed due to suspension or?
Well, he missed 6 games. What was it, last season or the season before?
The second of 3 seasons. So not
last season, I think.
Yeah, I think it was last season. As a matter of fact, I think it was. Yeah, the third season. Okay. So has he missed any other time?
Yeah, because he played 10 games in 2017, 15 in 2016, 15 in 2018.
Okay, so 2 years ago. So, but has he missed any other time due to suspension? I think last year maybe, like, they already had the playoffs locked up. So why he didn't play that in that 16th game? My point is, yes, you're right, but there's only been one incident that he's missed time.
But he missed 6 games.
Right, but
that's a lot.
Okay, you're right.
He only played 16.
There was only one incident.
There wasn't only one incident. There were multiple incidents which led to the suspension, and there was this other incident that occurred in Vegas this year in which he pushed a security guard, which led to him having to go to New York and meet with Roger Goodell, and he narrowly avoided suspension. But he's right on the cusp of potentially being suspended again. So if you're going to break the bank to pay him over $14 million, which is what Todd Gurley got per year, then you need to make sure that you can guarantee he's going to be available. And, you know, like if he gets injured, then, you know, nobody can predict that. But you can't have him being one bad decision away off the field from being a $14 million plus per year running back that isn't available to you because he's a knucklehead.
I'm trying to think of any other players who are signed to big contracts who are somewhat in the same situation. I wouldn't say Antonio Brown is there, right? Not with the NFL, the league itself. But is there any other player of a, you know, team's best player in that type of situation where they're one suspension away from missing games?
Well, I mean, Patrick Peterson for the Cardinals is going to miss the first six games of the season because of performance-enhancing drugs.
Oh, yeah, but I mean like off-the-field instance where you're a nuisance off the field.
Just being a knucklehead.
Right, like Ezekiel Elliott has.
Like a superstar-type player? I mean, how would you describe what Josh Gordon has been through?
That's a mental thing.
Substance abuse?
Yeah, like that's not, you know, he's not, like the situations you provide, he's not out there putting his hands on women. He's not out there getting in fights. He's got some mental hurdles that he's got to overcome, and that's a real issue, man. That's not something the league, what do they call it? They suspended him last year, was that it? Did the league suspend him? Is that what you'd call it?
Yes, right, because he continues to violate the substance abuse policy. But they just reinstated him.
Right.
Interesting that, like, on a side note, they just reinstated him, and then Julian Edelman just returned to practice. So suddenly the Patriots seemingly have all their weapons.
Hey, what do you know?
Right on time.
Anyways, let's. We got to do our quick.
So here's, just to wrap this up real quick. Sorry, Zach.
I just wanted to squeeze that in.
Ezekiel Elliott complaining that Jerry Jones made a joke at his expense when Ezekiel Elliott has 2 years left on his contract and is one bad decision away from being suspended again. I guess I don't feel too bad for him, and I'm not on his side. You asked me if I'm on his side. I'm not on his side.
See, I don't really care about how many years are left on the contract. If you're overperforming your contract, you're overperforming your contract. And when it's flipped the other way, it's like, nobody says when somebody gets cut, well, he had 2 years left on his contract. Like, nobody cares. If you're overperforming your value, and especially at a position where the shelf life is so short, I understand why the running backs feel like Melvin Gordon and Le'Veon Bell last year and now Ezekiel Elliott, the show that they need to sit out because they touch the ball more than anybody except the quarterback. And the quarterbacks are getting $30, $35 million. And yet these guys are getting $3, $5, $7? Come on, man. Like, which wide receiver just signed a contract? One of these big wide receivers. I can't remember who it was.
Can anybody? Antonio Brown?
There was somebody recently who signed a big contract. Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
5 years, $100 million. $20 million a year. He touches the ball 100 times a year. 100 times a year. Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon, they touch the ball 3 times more than that. And they can't get half of that? It's absurd. Like, how does that not make sense? And I understand that it's a very, I don't want to use the word replaceable, but it kind of is, right? But at the same time, like, these are some of the greatest running backs that we've seen in our generation. Ezekiel Elliott is phenomenal. He came right in and changed that the whole loser mentality of that team. They were 8-8 every year. And yes, Dak Prescott had a lot to do with that. But Dak Prescott without Ezekiel Elliott is not very good.
I still think he's going to get paid. But he also is a bit unlucky, right? This is the era where the running backs don't get their due.
Mm-hmm.
This is an era where, from a business perspective, it doesn't usually make sense to give a running back a big contract. It just doesn't, because they are relatively replaceable, at least based on the numbers we've seen. So, you know.
Someone texted, Lennon Beast say Zach who every time they work him every shift without a day off. That's very true. All right, let's quickly do our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
All right, we'll start in college football, where the AP preseason top 25 was released today as Clemson comes in with the number one overall ranking, followed by Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State to round out the top five. Number eight, it's the Florida Gators, of course, the opponent for the Miami Hurricanes this Saturday night. The Canes, by the way, were the team with the fourth most votes received outside of the top 25, so theoretically, they'd be the 29th ranked team in the country. Also in the state of Florida, UCF comes in at number 17. Meanwhile, for the Dolphins, they were back at practice today. We'll go over the injuries. Good news, Rashad Jones and Jakeem Grant were back to practice, but four linebackers remain sidelined, including Kiko Alonso, Raekwon McMillan, Andrew Van Ginkel, and Chase Allen. Three receivers in Devontae Parker, Allen Hurns, and Albert Wilson sidelined. And also missing from Monday's practice, running back Kenyon Drake and safeties T.J. McDonald and Walt Akins. Meanwhile, on Monday Night Football, it is not looking good for me as far as the fantasy football draft based on the total points output in this one tonight. 49ers at Broncos. It is now 6-3 with 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Denver has a narrow three-point lead.
Hey, you got some points added on there, though.
Hey, man, 9 points before the half.
What is the least amount again? Was it 24?
It was something pretty low like
okay,
that.
Well, yeah, Greg is by far in 12th place at this point.
You're gonna get a 2-minute drive here, so maybe you get some more points. So
I hope so.
Keep your head up, Greg.
Yeah,
who had the Cardinals and the Raiders?
That's a good question.
That would be the number one pick at this point.
Right, exactly. The 59 points. Yeah. Whoever that is, laughing all the way home.
You know when they got that game, they're like, oh, damn it.
At first, yeah, for sure. And then, you know, Mike Glennon suddenly turned into
holy moly,
the
man.
Second coming of Joe Montana.
He looks so good.
By the way, to wrap things up, Marlins have the night off. Three-game series begins tomorrow in Atlanta.
All right, man. Nice, quick, brief headlines. I want to get into the AP poll. You kind of touched on it there. I just have no love for preseason rankings. We'll talk about that next year on 790 The Ticket. Oh, man. Just performing sexual acts all over the microphone like Scott Weiland would. Rest in peace.
You ever get to see him live?
No.
Don't, saw him like twice.
Don't jab it. Don't put salt in the wound, man.
I saw him like right before they broke up, and then I saw them a year or two before he died. Really great band live.
I know. And then Velvet Revolver? Oh, he was so good. I loved me some Scott Weiland. I was a big fan of those. Leave this rolling for a little bit, Danny. I was a big fan of those, I guess, super groups in the early 2000s. Audioslave, Velvet Revolver.
I used to joke around, I used to call Velvet Revolver like the super friends of rock.
Why?
Dude, because they were like banded together from the four corners of the galaxy. Comes like Matt Sorum from Guns N' Roses and the Cult, Slash, Duff. Scott Weiland.
So Audioslave was
the Rage Against the Machine
with
Chris Cornell.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And then Velvet Revolver was the band from Guns N' Roses.
It was Guns N' Roses. It was basically Guns N' Roses.
And Scott Weiland.
With Scott Weiland, yeah.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. I saw STP a couple of times. I saw Scott Weiland was at a festival in Chicago when he was just doing his solo stuff. And I've told this story before in the year, but there were multiple accounts after the show. The venue was an amphitheater, and people were leaving to go into the parking lot, and multiple people almost got run over by a crazy person riding in a golf cart. And
nice.
It was Scott Weiland.
Nice.
And everybody who saw him, like I said, his eyes were bloodshot, and he was just completely out of his mind.
Well, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, Greg, and say that if Scott Weiland is driving a golf cart through a crowd of people without a care in the world, going to think he's high on something. Just going to put that out there.
That was the assumption that everybody was under. And, you know, unfortunately, for a guy who was as talented as he was, as charismatic as he was,
oh, yeah.
He just could not get out of his own way. But, yeah.
Rest in peace, man. One of the guys that I am very, very sad I never saw and never will get to see. Very sad.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way about the Lane Stanley from Alice in Chains.
I saw Alice in Chains, but just like a couple weeks ago.
I saw Alice in Chains like way back.
Yeah.
But I'm like a guy that like, dude, I saw Sublime before Sublime died.
Wow.
I saw Bradley. Yeah.
Wow.
I was at the first Warped Tour. Let me put it to you that way.
Wow. Like 5,000 years ago.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no problem. You guys can text in the show on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 67974. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. That's Greg Likens and Danny the Sports Bomber. I'm Zach Duarte. We'll be on the air for about another 35 minutes here. And Greg, in his updates, talked about the AP poll. Those were released today. And, man, there's nothing more that I do not care about than preseason rankings. Whoo, boy. Are these so... There's only one purpose for this, and it's to give meaning to the games that are on nationally televised football games, right? Because, like, Nebraska being ranked? Based off of what? Based off of what?
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you never care about the preseason rankings, or do you just not care because, say, your team's not ranked?
No. I don't care about them whatsoever.
Just ever?
No. Obviously, it's really cool if Miami's ranked, but... it's meaningless. Like, look at last year. It was so meaningless. They were ranked higher than LSU, and they got destroyed.
Yeah, last year they were ranked 8th, and LSU was, what, 25, 24?
So stupid, these preseason rankings. And it has an effect because, you know, not that I ever want to make a case for UCF or its fan base, but, you know, a couple years ago, UCF was undefeated, and they were so behind in the polls, obviously because they play a non-conference or non-Power 5 conference schedule, but also because you start the season unranked. Like, you have to overcome all those hurdles, and, okay, you finally get ranked when you're 6-0 or whatever it is, and you're going to slowly – like, you're not going to jump from 25 to 7. You know, you have to slowly climb the ranks, and that hurts teams who aren't ranked in the beginning. Now, I know, you know, for maybe Miami, they can make their case early on as to why they should be ranked. But like, it's just so meaningless. Like, why don't we wait 3 or 4 weeks before we judge everybody? What are we basing this off of? Because the last we saw Nebraska, they were terrible. They started out 0-8. And that's a team in the top 25? Why? Based off of what?
It's all projection. So recruiting classes.
But how are we projecting this when the last that we saw of them, with a lot of the same people on that team, was a team that won a third of their games?
I've always said this about college football. I think it's the most unfair sport when it comes to being evaluated and how a champion is chosen. It is the only sport where talking heads actually have, like, say in, like, where a team ranks, where a team finishes, who should play who. It literally comes down to what I believe to be just the old boy network. They want to have control over college football. They don't want to have upstart programs like the University of Miami was in the early 1980s. They want to keep it about the Ohio States, about the Alabamas, the Michigans, the USCs, et cetera, et cetera. And this is their way of kind of keeping control. I remember I did a show with Greg a couple of weeks ago where we were talking about expanding the playoff roster to 8 teams, right? And the reason that I don't think they want to do it is because it might not happen, but what if USF, the number 8 seed in the playoffs, were to beat an Alabama at a number 1 ranking? It would throw the college football world and the ranking system in complete chaos. How would the voters look? The little stupid biased subcommittee that they run out there that it's like, oh yeah, we're totally unbiased, but here's the AD for the entire ACC. He's sitting there, and here's two guys from the SEC here. But don't worry, the whole thing is totally unbiased. It's a load of crap. College football is just not decided on the field, and if it's not decided on the field, then that's not sports, in my opinion.
Well, I agree with what Zach said in regards to the preseason rankings are all for the TV, so they can pump up these matchups, right? So, you know, whatever the early, like, for example, you've got Oregon, who's the number 11 team in the country, Auburn's at 16. They play in week one, because week zero is this weekend. And that's one of the big out-of-conference matchups to start everything. This is perfect. So you've got two top 20 teams playing against each other from different conferences, and they can pump that up. That's exactly why they do it. I understand there's got to be some level of a starting point, but I do think you make a fair point that you could, 3 or 4 weeks in, wait until you have some level of ability to evaluate what has already occurred and then go from there. I will say this, though. For many years, I didn't really care too much about the rankings, but I'm not disappointed to see Syracuse as the only other ranked ACC school other than Clemson.
Yeah. You always got to bring in your Syracuse bias into this thing.
Not going to mind. I don't mind.
It's like... I don't understand. Like, and Danny, I mean, you seem very passionate about this, by the way. It's so obvious, and Greg, you touched on it there too. It's so obvious why this is done. There's nothing to base this off of. Like, okay, yeah, recruiting. Like, nobody knows how recruiting is going to turn out. Miami had the top five recruiting class for like 6 years under Al Golden, and it never worked out. We don't know how this stuff's going to pan out. You can't project if the players aren't going to fit the system, or the coach is going to get suspended like Urban Meyer. Like, you can't project this stuff. Why not just let the season play itself out?
No, I agree with you, and I think it's just another cop-out, especially when you, like, let's say you take like one of these high-ranking teams, and then their schedule ends up being terrible. Like, in hindsight, their schedule ends up being terrible. But because the teams that they played were ranked very highly at the beginning of the preseason, and they were ranked preseason, then that team gets totally overrated, and you can't settle it on the field because it's only a four-team playoff, and you're not going to let anybody else in who isn't the ACC champion, the SEC champion, probably the number two team in the SEC, and somebody from the West, or maybe like a Big Ten team. That's it.
You know what's interesting about this? So in Miami's case, they're playing the number eight team in the country to start the season, because the AP poll and the coaches poll both have the Gators at number eight. And say Miami wins. Say they win on Saturday night and they start the season off with this resounding victory over an in-state rival that's ranked in the top 10, but Florida goes on to have a 4-8 season.
That happened.
Right? that I don't think that's likely, but...
Well, it happened, like,
just play
6 years ago.
But play along, right? So they go 4-8, and a victory that looked like it was going to be the banner victory of the year for the Miami Hurricanes ends up being just another win that didn't matter, but we all thought it did because they were ranked number eight.
Correct. This happened several years ago. Miami beat UF to start the season under Al Golden, and UF went 4-8 that year. That was the year they lost to Georgia Southern, when Georgia Southern didn't throw a single pass.
With Jim McElwain?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
This happened. This exact scenario happened. And we are like, oh, man, we beat a top 25 team. It's like, well, in hindsight, that team was garbage.
J.C. Howard had an interception in that game.
By the way,
you remember some useless stuff, man.
52-yard field goal, Brandon McManus. It is 9-3 at halftime.
You remember some also. Oh, that happened live. Okay, I was
12,
like.
12 points.
I'm like, did that happen in the Canes-Gators game? Like, no, I didn't know,
great.
Brian. Like, what just happened?
That
there,
was
man?
Live.
Oh, well, so we got, 12 points there?
12 points.
All right, we're on our way, man. Game of field goals.
Oh, man. We're on pace for 24.
It's the patience play for you, man. We'll get more. I believe it.
I hope so.
Come on, Greg. Let's get that 11th pick.
Pray for overtime.
I'm hoping for some crazy.
You know what? You might as well stay 12. Wouldn't you rather just pick back-to-back at this point?
At this point. But I you know what? I think we could get some crazy pick sixes, get some quick scores, get the...
Yeah, why not? Throw a little excitement in there.
Yeah. Drew Lock. Come on, man. Come through for me.
What's the total yardage in this game?
That's a good question. I'll check that out.
I'm going to assume not good.
They've actually moved the ball up and down. Just
like I know Jimmy G threw an interception.
Total yards, Broncos have 166. 49ers of 78. Ooh. Niners.
Like 240 in total. Yeah, yikes, buddy.
Well,
yikes.
We got a full half to still to play, so I have not lost faith yet.
There we go. Have faith that you're going to get that number six pick. Which is probably the worst spot to be, right?
Yeah, I think I'd rather be at 12 at this point, Greg.
Well, it's a keeper league, too, so that makes it.
Who'd you keep?
You can draft rookies every year, and then you can keep some veterans. So, for me, my keep – well, I have Kerryon Johnson from last year.
Okay.
Not bad. And then I got to look at the list, see who else I have.
You don't know who else you have in your keeper league?
I got to look it up. I won the league last year.
What?
I did.
Oh. Well, now you're going to lose the first pick. you're gonna win the 12th pick. That's what it should be. It should be like a real draft system, right?
But they do that for the rookie keeper draft. So for the rookie picks, I pick last in that one.
See, I don't think this is a great – I think you need to talk to the commissioner about this because this is a pretty good idea that he has here. The problem is I think the execution is a little flawed because why do the second preseason game when you should be doing the third preseason game? Because at least that's more fair because you get more of the starters in there.
That's true. My other keeper is Corey Davis, the wide receiver from the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. So
you better hope Ryan Tannehill gets in there.
The other keeper that I'm not keeping is Demaryius Thomas. His days are long gone.
Why are your keepers not that good?
I won the league last year. So
how?
I drafted Davante Adams in the first round. Ben Roethlisberger late. I had Chris Carson. There's a couple others. I won the league. So
all right. Well, last year I had Le'Veon Bell, so that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, that didn't work out.
Although, so I was all I wanted to do was be in the hunt, like the Dolphins are every year, and I was in the hunt till the last game, and so I believe by the time like it came for me to suit up, like the team ahead of me that I needed to lose, it had to be one of those, you know how Buffalo is always like 6-8 in the hunt, and they need 17 things to break right to make the playoffs. That's what it was like for me. So at a certain point, I had realized I was all but out. It was like a 1% chance I was going to make it. So I thought about starting Le'Veon Bell just for a game. Just to say I got some kind of something out of my first round pick, which I ended up obviously not getting anything.
It is crazy, you know, going back a year ago, to think that that was one of the major storylines. So we all anticipated he'd be back, and then it was projecting which week he'd come back. And then he never did. Not to rub it in.
Thanks.
For you, but, no, but right? Like, we kept talking
about
it. Not
to rub it in, but he never came back.
From a fantasy and a football, like a real football perspective, we kept looking, hey, okay, is this the week Le'Veon Bell comes back? What deadline is he going to reach?
Yeah.
And he never showed up.
I hate to toot my own horn, but I'm going to do it anyway. Like, I kind of saw that coming with Le'Veon Bell. Because the simple fact of the matter is it would have just become contentious between the two. And it wasn't about money because the Steelers actually offered him a pretty good deal. I think they offered him more than what he got from the Jets. And he turned it down. So that basically told me at that point that he doesn't care what they offer them. He's not playing for Pittsburgh anymore and it's just done. So that's why I avoided him like the plague.
Well, I could have used that advice ahead of time. So.
Well, now you know me, Duarte, and knowing's half the battle.
I also remember Le'Veon Bell last year saying that it was going to be the best year of his career. And then he didn't show up. So,
yeah.
Technically, that probably was the best year of his career, just taking it off and hanging out at the beach.
By the way, not that we would panic or overreact, right? We never do that in sports. But how do you think the 49ers are feeling about Jimmy Garoppolo after this performance tonight?
Man, and he had those like five straight interceptions, too. I think that was in practice.
One of six and an interception. 0 yards passing. In his first game action since the ACL. And they gave him a huge contract.
Jump off the ledge, 49er fans.
Damn, it's a little bit too early, but it's getting concerning, right?
It's too early, but I'm with you. It's certainly not a promising start.
People do tend to overreact to a lot of things. I remember I had one of my friends is a Dolphin fan. He texted me the other night when I'm leaving from working the game the other night with you guys, Duarte. And he's like, I said, man, I'm just done with the Dolphins. I can't take this anymore. I'm like, dude, it's preseason game number two. And it's probably going to get a lot worse before it gets a little better at the moment, dude. So just, you know, take a step back, man.
Well, it's like a lot of people ask me because, you know, especially when I go to a family function, they know, like, what I do. Like, hey, how the Dolphins looking? I'm like, here we go. Well, it's not going to be a good year, but they have a plan. And then I have to explain, like, why it's not going to be a good year, but why it's okay.
And why we have faith that this plan will work?
Well, I didn't say that. But
no, but, right? I mean, isn't that the next logical
question?
It's
just that they have a plan. Like, because the previous regime, there was no plan. It was a year-to-year project.
Yeah, multiple previous regimes.
Specifically the last one.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Who was here? Well, who was here before Ireland and Sprung. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was here before? No, it was Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they kind of had a plan. Like they're the ones who drafted Tannehill, right?
Yeah.
You know, you have a plan when you draft a quarterback, but these guys who took over, they had no idea what they
were doing. I mean, everybody who takes over the Dolphins has an air quote plan at all times. You know, let's be honest with ourselves. This is not – that's the whole thing about this Chris Greer era. You know, it's great and all that. You know, they got the plan and yada, yada. I've heard it all before. Let me see it on the field. And this whole notion of like, oh, well, you know, Chris Greer has been here, but, you know, he's not the one. It's always been everybody else except Chris Greer who has done the misevaluating on the talent. Well, that just sounds like a cop-out to me. Like, to be perfectly honest with you, it sounds like BS. Like, look, if you stayed the course, you stayed here, you got the job, fine. But don't try to sell me, you know, a ketchup popsicle, you know, that, oh, yeah, I had nothing to do with drafting Deion Jordan. That was all this guy. I didn't have anything to do with Daniel Thomas or Jason Allen. None of that. That was everybody else.
So many names I've forgotten.
I think you've forgotten them just because you wanted to, right? You're
Daniel to Thomas, man. I can't believe they traded back into the second round for that bum.
And I think a lot of people forget he had two stints with the Dolphins.
Yes, he did.
They brought him back. Is it the first one? Right? It's
yes,
like
they did.
We didn't get enough of the Daniel Thomas experience
right.
The first time. We
That's
want
right.
More.
Joe Philbin said, give me some more of that.
Yeah. Like, of all the running backs available, we want more Daniel Thomas.
Let's also not forget Leonte Carew.
Strong.
Traded back into the third round after you had just signed Kenny Stills and drafted Devontae Parker.
Good old Jordan Phillips.
And you had
that one I'll never forget.
And
I'll
you
never
had
ever
Jarvis
forget
Landry
Jordan Phillips.
On the team too.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that one. Because Denzel Perryman was right there.
Oh yeah, me too. I'm right there with you.
Well,
I tweeted about this last night because Denzel Perryman had a hit stick hit. Whew. And I reposted. I was like, never forget that the Miami Dolphins selected Jordan Phillips ahead of Denzel Perryman when they had just signed the richest defensive tackle contract in the history of the NFL, and they had the biggest need on the team at linebacker. Never, ever forget that.
You know, the Miami Dolphins are literally the only team that can say, if we draft a player and he's not good in a few years, he's gone, and if we draft a player and he is good, he's gone in a few years. They never stick around, man.
Right. Well, and then it wasn't just that they drafted Jordan Phillips, but Jordan Phillips was drafted not by general manager Dennis Hickey, but by Mike Tannenbaum. Mike Tannenbaum stepped in and said, I know you're the general manager, but I want Jordan Phillips. And so in addition to Mike Tannenbaum being the one who handed out the contract you just referenced, he also added a player that was known as a guy who, at times, when he asserted himself, a terrific talent, but was the knock against him was that he didn't always care about the game and didn't always assert himself the proper way.
Right.
And we saw that in the Dolphins uniform. A couple of plays here or there, he looked great. Other plays looked like he didn't care to actually be out on the field. So why you would go after a player like that at the same position and not address a need from a guy in from your backyard, you know, it's going to be one of the many things we harken back to.
The biggest indictment is how many of your draft picks in the last 5 years are either on another team or not playing at all.
And the Dolphins have a very high number of that. By the way, I think Jordan Phillips was more concerned with arguing with Omar Kelly than actually being a good football player.
Man, I was there for that. I was there in person.
Ooh.
That was awesome. Got the popcorn out.
Awkward, huh?
No, it was awesome. I got the popcorn out. Because, you know, in Omar's defense, like, what the hell is he going to do? You know, he's half the size of Jordan Phillips.
Right.
So. All right, 67974 if you want to text in on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Greg Like and Zach Duarte. Last segment of the show coming up next here on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Ticket, last segment of the show, Greg Likens, Danny the Sports Bomber, Garcia, myself, Zach Duarte. Great show tonight. Lots of fun. Super quick. Been a crazy day. Oh, almost converted that 3rd and 17.
Man, this is a low-scoring affair.
Drew Locke is such a down, bro.
Poor Greg Likens. Well, he, He made a nice pass there. I think the receiver just dropped it. You guys can text in on the text line at 67974. Text on the ticket are driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, all new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. So feel free to get us in there. Somebody says, I have a draft next Monday during your show, Zach. I'll probably text in some of my picks. I typically text in a bunch of stuff that is irrelevant to the show anyways. That makes for a super awkward work environment. So now, is he going to be texting in the picks that he makes himself or asking for advice on the picks?
That's a good question, right? Because you've got a pick coming up.
I don't know if I want to be responsible for your decisions. You know what I'm saying? I'm no Jamie Eisenberg.
Perhaps the texter texts in, hey, I'm picking, you know, in three picks from now, these are the available players. Who do you suggest I go with? Right, one of those. But you don't want the burden?
No, I don't want to be responsible for anybody's poor season. I have 1-0 fantasy football championships.
If you're going to make mistakes, make your own mistakes.
See, I know my place in fantasy football. I'm not like in basketball in this case. I don't want to be responsible for anybody else's mistakes. Somebody text it in. Zach, have some backbone for once and finally stand up to management for a salary raise for your show and doing post-game show. It's also, by the way, not the only thing I do. I also do digital content, and I am also the main reporter for both sports stations. But this was funny because we had just talked about Ezekiel Elliott. I said, I signed the contract, so once it's up, we'll talk. I'm no Zeke Elliott.
Very fair.
Yeah, what am I going to do there? Like, no, I'm not coming to work. All right, you're fired. Like, no problem. Right?
Yeah, these professional athletes are in a completely different league, right?
Correct.
I mean, literally, when it comes to, you know, them being professional athletes, but at the same time, they actually have leverage, and they exert that leverage, whereas most people, whether it be in radio or other, you know, regular jobs, that they cannot pull off something like that.
No,
you can't just not show up to work for a month.
I have no control over that situation there whatsoever. Now, Greg, I know you probably don't have this on file, or not on file, but on hand, because you talked about this way earlier, but apparently, like, you read an article about the, like, average room temperature.
Yes, I've got it right here.
Oh, there you go, because you're a professional, so.
So this originated from a news station in Tampa, and it was tweeted out, and so this is via St. Petersburg. It says, federal program Energy Star might not have been thinking of Floridians when it made recommendations for in-home air conditioners. Consumer Reports last month released some settings recommendations for air conditioners to help cut down energy usage and cost, even in relatively mild areas of the U.S. that don't consistently experience long-term heat waves. Energy bills can shoot up in the summer months. So you ready to hear what the suggested recommended temperatures are for energy efficiency in your house with the thermostat there? It says, when you're at home, they suggest you keep your thermostat at 78 degrees. When you're at work or away from home.
Oh, boy.
Ready for this?
What about my dog?
They suggest 85 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
And when you're sleeping, they suggest on here 82 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I mean, do they want us to die in the Florida heat? They want us to swim in a pool of our sweat while we're sleeping, clearly.
I mean, this is absolutely outrageous and unreasonable. Who would put their thermostat to 85 degrees when they're not at home?
I mean, you could just leave everything off and it'll get to 85 degrees.
So, you know.
Look. I sweat when it's 73 degrees. I'm a big guy.
What do you put your thermostat at?
71.
You put it at 71?
Yeah.
What about you, Dan?
Is that? I don't know what your reaction there is. Is that
it
bad?
It depends. Typically, it's about 71, 72. But, like, if it's, like, hot outside, like, then the sun's, like, beaming in the house, it's got to go down to 69, 68. Got to.
Wow. I keep mine at, like, 75.
Okay. Now, me and Danny were, like, bigger ilk, right? There's not a lot of meat on the bones of Greg Likens, right? So, I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, 75 to me is like when nobody's in the house.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But it's like, you know, at least for me, especially in the early morning, and when I come home from overnights, like my room faces where the sun comes up.
So you gotta
Like the sun is just beaming in there. So like I put tinfoil on the windows and the whole nine yards, but it's still there's like a hot coming on. So I gotta counteract it. I'm not gonna see any sleep at all.
Yeah, that's, I mean, like 85 degrees. And what is it when you're sleeping again? 82?
82.
That's ridiculous. That can't be real. Like this is a prank.
Like you're saying, 82 degrees.
I'll be sweating.
You'd be sweating. It would feel like a sauna.
I wouldn't be able to sleep. If it's too hot, I can't sleep, period.
Yeah, I agree with that, yeah.
I'm with you. And I always, I mean, listen, within reason, because especially with the temperatures here, but I always prefer to be a little colder than hot, right? If
you're going absolutely.
Sleep, yeah, you'd rather have to use some blankets than
absolutely. That's the whole point of having a blanket.
Correct. Yeah, that's more
sometimes it just makes me feel safe.
Well, that's probably an unrelated issue.
Sometimes I get lonely.
I can see that.
That doesn't have anything to do with temperature.
You know, I'm like Linus with my blanket. Just carry it around everywhere with me.
It's part of your charm.
When things got awkward in here real quick. Huh? yeah, someone says, I can't sleep in 82, pimp. I need to look that up. Yeah, look, it's and you said this was out of Tampa?
Well, this is where the report originates from a Tampa TV station.
Okay, and they said like that's not relatable to Florida then.
Right, but they're citing this Energy Star, which is the one that has put together this consumer report. Again, Energy Star is a federal program for the DOE and the Environmental Protection Agency. Said the coolest you should keep your home is 78 degrees when you're home. And again, these people must have never experience living in this state.
Yeah, like you also got to keep in mind your pets and stuff too, right?
Yeah, that's one thing. That's like that has to be like for Indiana or something like that. There's no way that's for Florida.
No. All right, man, that's going to do it for the show. A lot of fun having Greg on. We'll get you on again either sometime later this week or next week as well. You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Likens.
Yes.
Danny, great job by you. Thank you very much. Fun to do a show with you, man. I'm glad that you're going to be on the 790 airwaves a little bit more.
Looking forward to many more.
Love it. People can follow you on Twitter. You're actually really popular on Twitter.
Thank you. It's probably more from my old days at 560 WQAM than what I do now. But yeah, 305 Sports Bomber. Go ahead and give me a follow.
And I'll be at 790. Zach, I'll be on the air again tomorrow, Wednesday, and Friday. No Thursday show because the Dolphins have that dress rehearsal game. But you can catch the rest of the shows throughout the week as well. We'll get a rotating co-host Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler. Still waiting for Damian Lewis to come back. He's doing his little sports internship with Carolina. So a lot of good shows this week as we get ready for UMUF and the third preseason game between Miami and Jacksonville. It's going to do it for us tonight. Coming up next, CBS Sports Radio right here on 790 The Ticket.